Bereishis chapter 17. So after the previous chapters, especially the previous two chapters, we had the promise to Avram that he will have children, that his children will inherit the land. We had in the previous chapter the story of his first child actually being born, named Ishmael, in the end of the chapter. So there's like, this is one of the ways in which chapters and stuff end, like he gets a name, the son's name is Ishmael. But what we saw already in the previous chapter was that there is some issue with this child already before he was born. Sarai, who seems to have thought of the idea of giving her slave girl Hagar to Avram, seems to have second thoughts. She's not happy. She wants to send her away. And the child was saved by the Malach sending back Hagar, and or could say the child was saved as being a child of Avram by that, but still seems to be something not perfect. Although until Avram might think, and we might think, that this is actually the child promised to him. Okay, now we got a new story, and this is an important story. Of course, there's some duplication here in the sense that he keeps on getting promised children, but we do see differences between each one, so it's not hard to read it as one long story. And it seems like if we're to read it as one long story, this is not simple. So like there's the whole story started all the way back in the end of chapter 11 or 12, if I remember, where it said Sarai was barren, had no children. And then we had Avram going to Canaan, to Mitzrayim, and all the things happening. And it keeps on being promised that it will have children. And it keeps on being pushed off. It keeps on not actually happening, or not yet actually happening in the correct, full way. Now in this chapter, this is the chapter, and this chapter, and the following chapter, are the chapters where he is finally given a real final promise for a child, and not Stam a child, but the child who will be Yitzchak, his legitimate child, unlike Ishmael, which turns out to not be the legitimate child, not the one that is will be inheriting his property, the promise to the land, all of that. So, and what we have in this chapter is that, the final, we could call it the final promise, that he will have children, or that he have a child from Sarai, that would be the more explicit way. In other words, until now, he was promised children, but we see he tried to have a child maybe with his slave Hagar, tried to have child children other ways. It wasn't the promise for having a child with his wife Sarai. But now we have this promise, and the promise that this will be the legitimate child. Going along with that, we have the story, as we just discussed, is the question of names, which is very important. In the whole Sefer Bereishis, all the way from the beginning, where God gave the name to Yoim and Rakia and Shemaim and Eretz and Yamim and then Adam giving names to the animals. There's something important with the name. Name seems to have an important meaning, an important part of the story. And we have here also God changing the name. This is actually very interesting if we put it into that context. Remember, we discussed how the first three things created, God gave their name. The next things, the animals specifically, Adam gave the name to the wife, to the women, at least both to the, in other words, both to the to women in general and to his wife as a person. Adam Rishon gave a name. He gave a name to all the animals. We saw how Noach's name signified what kind of life he will lead. And now we have Avram, who was given a name. It doesn't say the story of him giving even a name or why he was called that, but we have him being born to Terach, the eldest Terach. And now we have a new kind of relation between something's name and God or and creation. We have like he had a name, Avram, and so they had names, but God is changing their name. He says, you will not be Avram anymore, you will be Avraham. Surah will not be Surah, she will be Surah. That's an interesting, how specifically we're going to interpret this, but we can see this is a whole new structure, a whole new way of naming things, a whole new way of being things. One more thing, which is very new and structurally new in this chapter, is the concept of a mitzvah. We've discussed several times already how there's some sense of a mitzvah in Parshas Bereishis already. God commands the world to be, and it is. There's the sense of mitzvahs in Parshas Noach. There's Avram who received the command to go to Canaan, Lech Lecha, and so on. What we have here, though, is a new kind of mitzvah, a new level of the concept of mitzvah developing, so to speak, in these stories. And that is the concept of a mitzvah ledoiris, a mitzvah which will not just be for one person or for one time. God commands, do such and such, go to such and such place, which by almost by definition can't be forever. I mean, could talk about the mitzvahs of creation, which are sort of mitzvahs forever because they're establishing nature. But then when Hashem tells Noach go into the Taiva, to go out of the Taiva, tells Avram to go to Eretz Canaan, all of these things can't be mitzvahs forever. There are specific mitzvahs that have a specific time, a specific place. Here we have the first thing which we would recognize as a mitzvah from later. And it's so much so that this whole part of this chapter, at least, that talks about the mitzvahs could have been placed later in the Torah and Parshas Shmot. There's even a discussion about this in the Halacha and the Mishnah, how to understand this. Do we do the mitzvah of Mila from Avraham Avinu, from Moshe Rabbeinu? There's a discussion, but what's relevant to us is that this is a part, the command, the mitzvah of doing Bris Mila is said here very explicitly as a mitzvah, not only for Avram, but for his children, for his descendants, forever. And it also includes the punishment for who doesn't do it. So it's very much laid down as a law for a society, for a group of people who have to follow it. It's a law for not only for one person, not in one specific situation. It's some kind of has the generality which we expect of laws of mitzvahs. So this is the first time we have such a thing. In the whole Sefer Bereishis, there isn't really another such a thing. There's the story of Gid Hanasha, which isn't really said in the same way. This is probably the only parsha that we could say that is explicitly a parsha of law. You could talk about the laws sort of that Hashem gave to Noach, maybe in the same way, in a similar way, but also not said in the same way. There isn't a punishment laid down. I mean, maybe there is for Shevich Dam Adam, for killing, for murder. There's a punishment. I still think it's not in the same way. So this is a three new things in this parasha, very important that they probably go together. In other words, the fact that there's this promise, this final promise, and the one that will actually happen is sort of when we read in two chapters, how God finally fulfilled this promise to Sarah to give her a son. It's mostly thinking about this promise, of course, the many promises that were given. And the fact that there is this new naming and the fact that there's this new mitzvah, all of that seems to go together. It seems to be part of this new development of this new stage. Of course, there's a sort of a question or something that complicates this, which is that Yishmael himself also is part of this Bris Mila. He gets circumcised too. So it's not like the fact that with this part of the story of this parsha is excluding Yishmael, is putting Yitzchak as legitimate heir to Avram, and not Yishmael. That is not entirely correct, and that is made explicit in the story, as we'll see. Okay, so the story is like this: Avram is 99 years old, and this is part of the story following Avram's age all the time. Again, part of one of the ways the stories are structured is following the ages of things. In the sense, this is following that, and there's a new revelation. Vayera Hashem el Avram. So again, he reveals himself and he identifies himself differently. And this is very important. And of course, I don't have a good explanation for why or what's going on here. But he identifies himself with a new name. We haven't had this name until now. Ani El Shaddai. I think it just means, a generic term means God. But Shaddai is his name. Like it's a particular name, a specific name. Might have some kind of meaning. Nobody knows clearly what the meaning of Shaddai exactly means, like what verb it's referring to. But that's his name. And there's something you should do and something he will do. In other words, the same logic of this treaty or covenant theory idea that we had almost with Noach, but again, not as explicitly in Noach. There was a covenant, but it wasn't very clearly said that you will do this and I will do that. There was some kind of deal, some kind of treaty, but not on the same level. Here we have, I am God, I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be vayesom and be whole. What exactly that means, I don't know. And I will give my treaty, my bris, my covenant between me and you. And I will give you many children. I'll make you multiply. That's like very clearly putting down the two sides. You will do one thing, and I will. And the Avram has a reaction to this, also a reaction we haven't seen until now, unless we can talk about his reaction to Bris Ben Absurdim, which is maybe similar, but not the same exact thing. He falls on his face, which seems to be a correct response to seeing God. Before we had Tardema Nafal Avram, he seemed, again, it's different, that is more active. It's more active, becoming more active. Avram's reaction becomes more action. The previous, when he still had some vision, we discussed how there's a vision and there's an explicit description of the vision. There's this fiery furnace passing through the Besurim and so on. But Avram falls. It falls, even said the sleep falls on him, as if he didn't fall asleep, sleep fell on him, right? That's a very passive way of describing things. And here, Avram falls on his face. He does something. And Elohim speaks to him. Now, this is probably an elaboration of the previous thing. And again, these stories, I don't think they entirely work with the chronological order. In other words, we can't read each pasuk as happening after the previous pasuk. I'm not entirely sure that that's the correct way to read them. I would say This is sort of the answer. It's still an answer to the question, like he sees God, and this is what he tells him. And what does he tell him? We can see this as Elohim, Hashem, articulating what he means by Hisalek Lefone. So what you should do is, firstly, this is my covenant, and what you will get out of it is V'yiso la'av ha'moyn goyim, that seems to be an elaboration of Arbo Yischa Moed Moed, you will be the father of many nations, so Lat. Your name will not be Avram, will be Avraham, which seems to connect to Av ha'moyn goyim. Like many Midrashei Shemot, many interpretations of names, it's not really clear how Avraham, as opposed to Avram, is more of Av Hamoin Goyim. There seems to be, we can hear the sounds here, Av Hamoin, Avraham. It's not entirely clear, but somehow Avraham means Av Hamoin Goyim, so the father of many nations. You will have many nations, many kings. So this is just a way of saying important people will come out of you, many multiple kings. And I will make a covenant between you and me forever to be your God for you is another important way of describing the covenant, the deal, the treaty, and give you the land which you live in already. It's another language that I don't think we had until now, which is the land of Canaan forever. Now, what will you do? And there's another, it says again, Vayomer Elohim al Avram, but it's just the other side. So in one part, he described, he elaborated what he will do. And then it says, and what will you do is, you will follow, you will keep my covenant. V'ataz b'risi tishma, you will keep my covenant, you and your children again. And what is it? Zoiz b'risi asher tishmeru. This is the covenant that you will keep. And it is, you should circumcise every male. In the Maltim, and it says again, the Maltim is Psal Alaskim. This is again getting to language which sort of repeats itself within the text. In the Maltim is Psal Alaskim, you should circumcise the flesh of your Arla, and this will be the sign of the Bris. So that's explaining what it will be for. We learned already by Noach that this concept of having a treaty, having a covenant, is a deal that has certain conditions. And then there's a concept of that having a sign, so like a signature or like some kind of physical sign which people used to make in order to signify, to show this treaty. And so the sign for this treaty, Ois Bris, will be in the flesh, this cutting of the flesh, of the Arla of the flesh. And now we give some details how this will be done later. It will be done when the male child is 8 days old, no matter whether it's a, and this is sort of, it's interesting, we see the way a household worked in this period, like we saw about Yishmael and so on. It says both if someone was born to you, Yilid Ba'is, so born to your legitimate wife or to your slave wife or something, and both if it was bought, so sometimes you buy basically a slave, and slaves here in seasons in all these stories are considered part of the household. It's interesting. On one hand, you could see it as like a good thing, and on one hand, maybe in a bad thing, but you could see it's not like there's children and their slaves are entirely outside. The slaves are part of the household, and therefore they get circumcised too, and they're part of the covenant, obviously. So that's slightly different than how we usually think of slavery. And then we have the punishment that we discussed, and a male who will have his arla, which will not cut, will have something called v'nichras ha'nef shimemeh, will be cut off from its nation because he has destroyed, he has not kept my covenant, my bris. This word of kodesh is again, it's a word that we have many times later in the Torah, punishments for specific things, not for every kind of bad thing. It's an interesting subject to think of why only certain mitzvahs have this punishment called kodesh, and what exactly it is also not clear. What is being cut off from am? And we discussed that am means your family, which is the same thing as a nation later, but am doesn't mean his nation. And it might mean something like, we'll see later, we already saw, Va'ata tuvil v'secha b'shalem. Coming back to your nation is a way of saying dying correctly, dying as part of a society, dying, being buried with your parents seems to have been important. And in some sense, this cutoff means something of being cut off from the family, cutting off from what you are, but it's not clear what this implies exactly. So I'm leaving it open for here. Then we have the second part of the words here, the promise. your wife Sora will stop being called Sora. She will become Sora. It doesn't have a reason. So for Avram, it says Ki Avram and Goyim. It doesn't say what's the difference between Sora and Sora. It's also not clear here what the reasoning for it is. But it seems like the same name. It just has change of one letter, which really like one vowel, right? Sora to Sora. Not clear. And she will be blessed, and you will have a son from her. And the same kind of language that he told him, he tells for her. She will have nations and kings coming out of her. And here is where Avram gives an even stronger reaction, and a specific, interesting kind of reaction. It says, Ve'ipal Avram Planov again, and he laughs or smiles or is very happy. We'll see later this problem with Sura having a similar reaction and Hashem not being happy with it. And he says in his heart, Ve'im Abliba means he says in his heart, which in our language would mean he thought to himself, but in the language of Tanakh, there's no such thing, there's no word for thinking. There's only the verb saying, and then when you add this qualifier, saying in your heart is a way of saying thinking. And he says, can it be, right, Haleben, can it be that someone 100 years old will have a child, or Sura, which is, and he already says Sura, right? Not Sura, which is 90 years old will have a child. So and therefore, he asks Hashem, Ve'im Abraham Alehim, I wish Yishmol will live before you. So in other words, he's saying, he seems to be not taking seriously his promise. He seems to be saying, this seems unrealistic, not going to happen. I already have Yishmol, why can't he be the one who will be my heir? Why can't he be the one who will live before you? And living before you seems to mean something like living successfully, living well, having all these many children and kings and so on. And him answers him, no, Aval. But we usually translate it as but it's sort of meant to be no. Sora will have a child. We'll call him Yitzchak. And again, it's not said here clearly, but obviously implied, connected with Yitzchak. So it's something unexpected, so something to laugh about. And the covenant will be with him forever. Regarding Yishmol, I've heard you too. And there's a play on words here. Yishmol Shmatich already had that earlier, that he's called like that. Kishom Alem Al Anech. And here we have God playing with the same play. I've heard your question, your request, your tefillah about Yishmol. He will also have many children. He will have 12 Nesim. Nesim is a synonym for kings, by the way. It doesn't necessarily mean something different. And he will be a great nation. It doesn't say great nations. It says one nation. So maybe there's some difference. But my covenant will be with Yitzchak, who Sora will give birth to. And he gives a time. Again, this is connected with the logic of times. This is why we have this story of this being Rosh Hashanah. It's very interesting because this is like this one part of structure, one way of making sense, which is when everything has a time, everything is in a certain year. So in this time, in the next year. And then we have an ending, an interesting, something we see later also by this story. So then there's like this, there's this, now we had a long dialogue, maybe the longest dialogue we had between a person and God until now. I'm not sure, I didn't count if it's the longest, but it's a long and complicated one. And it's like there's an ending. He finished to speak with him. Avram, and God went up from Avram. Of course, God is described always as being up, so he went up. It's not like he went away, but that's what it means. And now we have, just like every time there's a mitzvah, we have right away the story of Avram doing the mitzvah, the kiyum of the mitzvah. He takes his son Yishmol, takes all the children of his house. Obviously, he had more children, whether they were his own children by slave girls or some other slave's children. It doesn't say, but Yilid HaVaisa, and also the bought ones, and he circumcised them. Etzamayim is, again, this language of the day. That day, in other words, the day that God told him, that's the day that he did it. That's probably what it means. And we had his time. He, again, repeated, he was 99 years old when he did that. And Yishmol was 13. So this adds up, because he was 86 when Yishmol was born. So this is 13 years later. He's 99, he was 13. And this is, and this day they were all circumcised. It's repeated again. To make clear that this wasn't the same day, to make clear that it's Avram immediately did what God commanded him to do, which is the very important logic of what it means to be a tzaddik here. Okay.